As we hear the Advent story this morning, I want you to imagine perhaps a time you have been in a season of darkness, in a season of challenge, maybe a frustration, of just exhaustion. Maybe that was the holiday weekend for you. And to hear these words from Isaiah, we hear this calling from God after many, many years that the Israelites have gone through much suffering, much exhaustion, much oppression. And so I want to invite you to think of a time that you've experienced something similar, a long season where it just seemed like one step after the next was more and more exhausting. And then to hear these words that the prophet has for the people of their time, as well as the people for our time today.
These words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hands double all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Amen.
What if you could have everything you have ever wanted? So as I said, the people of Isaiah that the prophet is speaking to, that God is speaking through, these people have gone through a crushing several years of defeat, of hardship, of oppression, some believing that this was God's judgment for their actions, or perhaps even because of their inactions. These chapters that Isaiah lead up to this time were actions where God finally met the people. So now, as we heard Brian read the words, they are in a season of forgiveness and they're in a season of renewal. So all of these years, even decades of hardship and frustration, they have now led to a time when God is showing them a new future. That future is what we are celebrating today in the time of Advent. It is everything the people have ever wanted. So what does it mean to really need God? Have we ever thought about that? What does it truly mean to need God? Do we need God like we need food? We have grocery stores. Do we need God for safety? We have police. Do we need God for companionship? We have Facebook. Do we need God for love? We have Netflix. All these conveniences, all of these accessories, all of these comforts, and yet, are we still looking? In the midst of all of these comforts that we are in possession of, is it truly enough? Are we living as though we actually have enough? As someone once said, in what sense do we hear Isaiah's promise of comfort as something that we actually need? Do we need God's comfort in a way that maybe we're looking for that empty space? Are we pining for something that we need? Have we ceased to pine for home? Is getting everything that we want really the goal to Advent, or really any goal that we have in life? There are things that we have probably ceased to pine for, that we have ceased to yearn for, that we have ceased to want, that we have ceased to need. And yet, do we come today, this morning, feeling as though we have everything we need? One of the great mythologies I've always loved about the hero is when the hero gets exactly what they want or what they think they want. It's been in many stories. One of my favorites comes from Star Trek Generations, when Captain Jean-Luc Picard enters this alternate reality called the Nexus. The Nexus is basically this vastness of energy that is able to shape into what your desire is. And so at the beginning of the movie, we see how lonely it is to be captain of the Enterprise. Jean-Luc lost a nephew in a house fire. And so when he goes through the Nexus trying to catch the main villain of the movie, he finds that he is in this world where he gets exactly everything that he wanted. He has a beautiful house. It's Christmas. And he has this huge family. He looks around and he says, "These are my children." He gets exactly everything he has ever wanted. But as he sees how perfect and how beautiful everything is, it starts to dawn on him that how can this truly be real? And even if I stay here, what is it at the expense of? Who is it at the expense of? Probably one of my, if not my favorite Superman story, is when kind of the same thing happens. Superman is infected by this plant that subdues him, but on the other hand, gives him a mental image of everything he has ever wanted. He's back on Krypton. His home hasn't been destroyed. He has a family. He has a son. He works. He lives a normal life. But as he sees how perfect everything is, this nudging feeling does not escape him. It will not let him go, the idea that this can't be right. There are too many things that I have to do. And so at the end of the story, he kneels down to his son and he says, "You are everything I have ever wanted, but I have responsibilities and I have to go." And as he says goodbye to his son, his world literally crumbles around him as he breaks from this curse and his planet explodes again. Is it really perfection that we are waiting for? Is it perfection that we want, that if we were given that, everything would be fine? Is this why we celebrate Advent? For things to be right, for things to be beautiful, for things to be perfect, so that we may feel that comfort. As we find out in Isaiah, these people are used to imperfection. They are used to journeying through challenges and hardship. As someone once said, the way commanded by God is already the way known by God's people. And that way is through a wilderness. The comfort that God promises, therefore, does not come before we have to wait and we often have to wander through these desert places. In the movie The Last Temptation of Christ, I'm going to spoil it for you if you hadn't seen it, but when Jesus goes through that wilderness experience and he encounters Satan, Satan gives him that last temptation. It's not, you know, turn these rocks into bread or throw yourself off a cliff so angels will comfort you. The last temptation that he's given is a normal life where he doesn't have to be the Messiah. He doesn't have to be the Savior. He doesn't have to be crucified. He gets to go on to life just as a normal person, like everyone else. And so for Jesus, this is his wilderness experience. What would it be like to not have to be the Savior, the Messiah, the crucified one? What if joy is not in perfection? What if it's in the imperfections of life? Those moments when things finally do come together, and they don't come out perfect, but they come out beautiful. What if comfort doesn't mean that we get everything that we want or everything that we think we want? What if comfort is being given that second chance to be allowed to move forward, to know that we are loved? To think of true comfort of Advent, it may help us to think of those places where we felt exiled. So again, before Brian read that passage, That moment we took ourselves back to those seasons of being challenged, of being exhausted, maybe even frustrated, perhaps even angry. The exiles that we also see today in the world that may not affect us personally, but we do see how they are affecting others. People who are looking for a home to belong to, someone who will be there for them, someone who will see them, and then someone who will welcome them. Welcome them to the table and welcome them home. That might be the comfort of Advent. Through Isaiah, we see this theological reality that God's grace and God's forgiveness, it is also wrapped up in God's seeing us as who we are, even in the midst of the mistakes that we make. So God's grace and God's forgiveness is also wrapped up in what we sometimes call God's judgment or God's response to our stumbling, to our mistakes, to our sin. Both live in constant, sometimes messy reality with each other. When we do this, when we think that one cannot exist without the other, that's where we get that famous phrase, cheap grace. The idea that we are just offered forgiveness, even when we have no realization or even no acknowledgement of what it is that we have done. Those times when we have misstepped, when we have gone off the path, when we have made mistakes, when we have made choices that drive us away from God's love. Because on the other side of that, if we don't see how the two are related, then when God does make a proclamation or a response, it seems like it's just cheap retribution, where we get that angry, wrathful God who is just waiting for us to mess up. But what we see here in the communion table is our mistakes, our bad choices, and God's forgiveness, all of it fits on the same table, which is why we are all invited. This is why we confess, why the prayer of confession is what we often use every first of the month to remind ourselves that oftentimes we stumble, we fail. Sometimes we just simply choose to walk a different path. But then we realize how it is that we have come to our senses and we realize that we need to go home. And when we are called back home, we see that loving parent, whoever it may be for us, run out and say, it's okay. You are forgiven. Welcome home. Then, as Brian read, then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. Many of you may have seen this next picture, the difference between equality and equity. Because I think this is a lot of what Isaiah is saying, that we will all see the glory of God together. Because sometimes there's a barrier and we are unable to see. So in the first frame, we see what is called equality. It is assumed everyone gets the same benefit and needs the same support. So everyone here on the first slide is being treated equally. But there's another term, there's another reality, which is called equity, where individuals are given different supports to make it possible for them to have equal access. They are treated equitably. But there's a third image, and there's a third reality, where all three are able to see without any support, without any accommodations, because the border has been taken down. It has been removed. The inequality has been expressed, and the system that allowed that inequality to exist in the first place is gone. This is what God is promising the people. That the things that they have been dealing with, the oppression that they have suffered through, those systemic barriers that weighed them down, they are removed. And they are removed because God's people have removed them. In order for this to happen, God calls us to be a part of removing the barriers that are placed in people's way so that they're not able to see. See, part of the beauty of comfort of Advent is not that we get more boxes for people to stand on. It's that someday we'll be able to take down those barriers so that people won't need them in the first place. It could be easy to stay in our comfort zone, to stay in our world with the things that we have, with the things that we want, and to be distracted and obsessed over them so much that we don't see those who are suffering, those who are oppressed, those who are also in need of God's comfort. But God calls us to more than that. At our first three services, Pastor David, in his benediction, talked about how when he was a younger dad, his kids, when they were younger, they would often cry for him to pick him up, and that need for comfort. And as he was talking about that, I realized, you know, I don't think we ever grow out of that. And sometimes we're kind of thought like we have to, you know, we have to grow out of this need when we become adults to be responsible and strong, like we don't need that comfort. But I don't think that's true at all. I think we are always crying out for someone to pick us up, to hold us close, to just simply listen to us, maybe to be that shoulder to cry on. And as David said, that is what the church is supposed to be. If nothing else, we are the shoulder for the cries of the world. So as we go forth this place, let us do so, hopefully receiving that comfort here at the table, but also that call that we are to go out and be that comfort to the world, to be that shoulder to cry on. May we go out in the comfort of Advent to know that to a crying world that still has those barriers, we will do what we can to take them down, to hear that weeping, and know that all are welcome to come home. And may that give us peace and comfort. Amen.